This is Sam Apuzzo, and you're listening to Pro Lacrosse Talk.
Right off the bat, there's Lyle Thompson.
Courier.
Kylie O'Miller showing off those shifty skills.
Schreiber driving hard down the alley, and he scores.
What a goal from Josh Bird.
Kayla Trainer fires to score.
Are you kidding me? By Dylan Warren.
Gets topside. Rambo scores!
Welcome to Pro Lacrosse Talk on the Lacrosse Playground Podcast Network, your go-to podcast for interviews with professional players, coaches, and executives, as well as the latest news and analysis from all three professional lacrosse leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Adam Moore and Hutton Jackson.
What is up, Pro Lacrosse fans? We are here with another edition of Pro Lacrosse Talk. I'm here with my co-host Adam Moore, and as always, I am Hutton Jackson. No guests this week, but we have a lot to talk about, specifically in Athletes Unlimited realm, as well as the NLL. We'll get a little bit into the PLL All-Star Game discussion as well, but I love that. I just realized, too, in our intro, we have Joe Beninati, call of Kayla Trainer. Yep. I'm hoping I can maybe replace that with an even better one this summer now that Joe is going to be calling these Athletes Unlimited game. Yeah. Great pickup by Athletes Unlimited. Very excited about to hear him. I'm a Caps fan, so hearing him voice any pro lacrosse is a nice little crossover for me. But how's it going?
Going great, man. I know we don't have many games to talk about other than the PL All-Star game, which was fantastic, but lacrosse news doesn't sleep, man. We have a lot to talk about, whether it's the NLL realignment, the AU dropping starting games this weekend. A lot to talk about.
Yeah, probably a good week to not have a guest since there is so much to talk about. We're again talking about all three leagues, which is always nice for us when you know you have the trifecta of pro lacrosse. But yeah, you mentioned the All-Star game. I guess let's start with that in terms of what did you think of this All-Star game, both the game itself, the skills competition itself too. I don't know, any thoughts from this past weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it was the all-star game of the goalies, huh? Between Timmy Trautner crushing it, winning MVP, to Adam Gittleman playing goalie, but also every other position on the field. It was an awesome weekend. Like, the PLL's doing it right when it comes to how they're putting on a show. Obviously, the goalie competition is always going to be my favorite. Congrats. Props to Kyle Burnlor for bringing home the dub there. But yeah, awesome weekend, a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, the they crushed the over. The over under was 28.5 to start, then 29.5. 44 goals were scored in this All-Star game. So, you know, I don't think that was ever in doubt. I mean, the adversaries almost actually reached that mark on their own. They got 23 total goals. But yeah, definitely a fun weekend. It's always fun. You know, and I think that's the most important thing for people to take away too, is like the All-Star game is about having fun. I know we had a little bit of controversy on Lax Twitter that made me want to just crawl into a hole for a little bit about the whole face-off rules occurring in the second and third quarter. Like, you know, it's not affecting the fabric of the game, guys, you know, to try a few rules out. Is it gimmicky? Is it kind of stupid in my opinion? Yeah. But like, am I going to get really upset about it? No. Like, is it proving that the PLL are face-off detractors now? No. They have the best face-off rules, in my opinion, in the game. Yep. That, you know, makes it not just a one-on-one, but a three-on-three, having the wings being closer. And you know, the way they set up the sticks, too, when you're facing off also allows it to be more of, you know, a ground ball battle as opposed to just somebody winning the clamp outright. So,
yeah.
Again, those rules aren't going anywhere. I can understand, you know, if you're a face-off guy being a little annoyed with it. But at the end of the day, we were seeing comments that was like, this is terrible for pro lacrosse. It's like they did it in 2019. Where were you then? I'm sure you were complaining then too. But at the end of the day, they're just testing some things out. I don't think anything's going to stick. I think we're not going to see, you know, ball drops in professional lacrosse. I think that's outrageous. But, you know, it's all in good fun. And, yeah, you mentioned the goalies. Funny that a goalie has won the PLL All-Star Game MVP back-to-back years. 2019, we had Jack and Cannon winning it. Yep. And in 2021, we had Tim Trautner, who single-handedly raised $12,000 for Oakland Lacrosse thanks to his 24 saves. He also had that ridiculous behind-the-back goal that had all of Lax Twitter going crazy. I thought it was a great initiative what the PLL did, giving $500 to Oakland Lacrosse for every save made. We had 35 total saves in this game. Overall, great weekend. The skills competition I thought was fun too. Jared Newman topped his record at 117. He beat his 115 record. I thought it was a little odd that he didn't win the competition because they had to do a final round. I would like to maybe see them in future, you know, skills competitions, maybe just give them a final round to top their personal scores. But like, again, at the end of the day, I feel like the guy who shot the fastest should win the competition. But again, you know, It was both chaos guys. I think if you're Andy Towers, you're pretty happy that you had both your bomb squad guys in the finals there, and they've been both ripped. So congrats to Jake Furcaro on that. But overall, I thought the All-Star game weekend was great. You know, it's a nice little change of pace too, a nice little break for some of these athletes, especially the ones that were not able to attend because of injury. Gives them some time to rest up. So certainly looking forward to some PLL regular season action coming up in 2 weeks. In the meantime, we'll sit tight. But yeah, overall, I thought it was great. And I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about the TV ratings so far too, because I'm not going to lie, the PLL didn't get off to such a hot start at the beginning of the season, but they have steadily been climbing up the ratings, which I think is great. So I did a little bit of research. You know, you have Sports Media Watch is a company that puts out stuff. Spoiler TV is the one that I actually got a lot of these ratings from. Now, I wasn't able to collect the NBC game data, unfortunately. But if going off of these ratings that I got for NBC Sportsnet, you can assume that the NBC ratings were hopefully a little bit higher. Paul Rabel actually suggested that one of their games was in the top two. So, in terms of the ratings, they only give you the top 200 on Spoiler TV. So the June 5th game, June 6th game, and the June 12th game were actually not even in the top 200. So not a great sign like to start, but again, since then the ratings have slowly been going up. Yeah. June 13th, you had the Chrome versus the Water Dogs. They had a viewership of 45,000. Again, you know, we're not talking millions here. So lacrosse still has a long way to go, but in terms of lacrosse, we're getting there. I'll give you some benchmarks too from the college season that can, you know, tell us kind of where we're at. Water Dogs Archers, June 26th, that was 61,000. So again, increasing a little bit there. July 3rd dropped back down to 41,000. That was the lowest that I actually had a number for. That was between the Cannons and the Chaos. July 4th, 109,000. You know, that was Whipsnakes Archers. So obviously two juggernauts there. And then the best weekend was the Minneapolis weekend. You had the Redwoods versus the Whipsnakes. Obviously going to have a big draw there. 151,000. And then the Cannons and the Archers, 162,000. So the following day. So again, the ratings are going up, which is great. Paul Rabel mentioned that they had their highest rating from Minneapolis of their past three seasons. So I think that's great. And those are actually just the TV linear numbers. Yeah. So those numbers are a lot higher for Peacock. I don't know about you, Adam. I tend to actually watch it on Peacock, even if it's on NBC Sportsnet. So take these numbers as kind of just like a baseline of what we're looking at. TV is still going to be huge because you're having, you know, you can assume a lot of these people tuning in are new audience members, whereas Peacock is probably going to be your more, you know, loyal PLL fan tuning in. So, you know, those are just kind of some baseline numbers. But if you compare that to the NCAA final this past season, they had 399,000 viewers. So still higher than the PLL, but, you know, not too far off. That's a championship game. It was on ESPN2. Memorial Day weekend is a tradition. You know, every lacrosse fan tunes in for that. And that was up 35% since 2019. So, you know, they had a really good year then too. So overall, I think lacrosse on TV is doing pretty well, you know, and it's nice to see that the NLL, which we're going to get to a little bit now, it's the TV deal that's for Canada watchers. We'll hopefully get a US deal pretty soon. And then the Athletes Unlimited is going to be on CBS Sportsnet, FS1, and then streaming some on Facebook and YouTube. Yep. Overall, your thoughts on, you know, just in general, the broadcast quality of these games, Adam, you know, not just this year, but over these past 3 years, and what I think the PLL has really done for the sport in terms of TV viewership.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been monumental for the sport, right? Obviously, it's a good sign to see a climb throughout this season in viewership from the traditional side of things. But I mean, the product in and of itself has been revolutionary for the game in terms of the production value, right? What the PLL has done for maybe, you know, not necessarily fair weather fan, but a new fan to the game can turn on NBC, turn on NBC Sports and see a high quality product. That shows that there is strong backing for the game and for the sport, and brings legitimacy to the league. So it's been great to see the production value, not only linearly, but on social and that growing as well.
You know, and I think it's important for people to realize too, is like the networks itself aren't necessarily indicative of how the broadcast is going to be. You know, not all broadcasts are created equal. You could get a good example is the MLL broadcast. We're not at the level of the PLL, but being on ESPN, that doesn't mean ESPN, you know, broadcasts aren't great. there's different crews, you know, and there's a cost with that too. The PLL is definitely, you know, there's definitely a cost associated with them getting a crew, but all those different camera angles aren't, you know, specific to NBC. You know, they could do that on really any network. It's the fact that you have to get that separate crew. That's a, you know, separate company that comes in to do those games and do all those different camera angles, shows that the PLL put an added emphasis on that, you know, and again, their deal with NBC is coming, you know, towards the end. Hopefully they renew, but you know, NBC Sports is going through some changes too. So I think it's important for them to show growth. And if they do get a new TV provider next year, you could still expect the same level of quality broadcasts, hopefully, if they're still, again, putting the money into that, even if it's on a different network. I think that's important to know. Because again, you know, they had the MLL games on ESPN too, but the broadcast group that was doing those games was not the same that was doing the NBC game. So again, not all broadcasts are created equal, depending on, it's not necessarily the network that it's showed on. It's more the crew that's associated with it. So yeah, I think it's encouraging to see. Again, we want to continue to see that increase. But as I mentioned a little bit, big deal for the NLL. They announced a linear deal with TSN. So TSN is going to bring a game of the week for the NLL. And then they're also going to be the streaming option for Canadian fans. So I think that's huge. You know, you really have Sportsnet and TSN as the two big media companies in Canada. And because of media laws too, you have to, broadcast deals have to be different between borders, just because you can't have a deal with a company in the US if you're, you know, a Canada company, and vice versa like that. So that's why you're going to see two different media deals. But if the Canadian deal is any indication of what we're going to get in the US, it's a pretty good start. So let's talk a little bit about the NLL. They had some big announcements. I think that was the first one. What are your thoughts on the TSN deal? Did you expect a linear deal? Because, you know, BR Live was kind of, you know, where they seem like they were at for the past couple of years. And to me, it's exactly what I wanted to hear, but I was a little taken aback and I was pleasantly surprised. But what were your thoughts when they announced the TSN deal?
Yeah, surprised, but really excited about it, right? I think if you're a league just similar to what the PLL is, they have that TV deal, but they also have optionality in a number of different ways. So fans have been clamoring for some form of TV deal to make it more accessible to watch games. And this is one deal that'll make that happen for our Canadian fans north of the border. So hopefully we'll get a TV deal from a stateside, from the stateside of things soon. But yeah, it's great news for the league and the growth and development of the sport as a whole.
You know, and it's nice to see them recognize that linear, you know, is still a, you know, valid thing to focus on. Like, obviously we see, you know, the shift in streaming. You got Peacock with the PLL, you know, obviously AU is doing some digital streaming as well, but linear is still very, very important. And that's not going to go by the wayside anytime soon. We're going to experience some growing pains, unfortunately, with people, you know, shifting from cable and cutting the cord to go solely to streaming, but providing both those options is really important. So I expect something similar, you know, probably from you know, the NLL in the stateside. I'm hoping maybe it's ESPN, because TSN has some ties with ESPN. You know, there's some co-owners with the ownership groups for both networks. Obviously, again, depending on the broadcast rules is why they're not, you know, they're not completely linked, but they are linked in a way. And I'm hoping maybe ESPN, you know, getting hockey recently, yep, is them convincing, okay, you know, NLL, very similar, lacrosse is a very similar game to hockey. Let's, you know, get some NLL action on ESPN as well. And, you know, important thing to know too is that the NLL and the MILL had gone through some different TV deals in the past. Like, the MILL used to be on ESPN2 a lot. Actually, to this day, the highest rated game, I believe, is the 2005 NLL championship. It was between Arizona and Toronto. And I believe that was on, that might've been on NBC actually. So, you know, there's some history there with, you know, lacrosse being on TV. I think, I don't want to say BR Live was a step backwards. It was definitely just a different option that they offered. But I think, you know, providing both ways to watch is definitely going to be propelling them forward going forward. So love the deal. We got a few other, you know, announcements too, in terms of division realignment. So they've gone from the three divisions that they introduced last year, now to two conferences. I think an important thing to note is, while they have an even amount of teams at 14, rather than going 7 in one conference, 7 in the other, they actually went 8 in the Eastern Conference and 6 in the Western Conference. So obviously we know Las Vegas is coming. They'll be the 15th franchise. They'll also play in the West. But this leads me to believe that we're gonna get an eighth team that's also from the West. So I think, you know, if you're an East Coast fan hoping to see the return of lacrosse to your market, it's a little probably disappointing, but I think it's great for the game to kind of, again, spread across the Midwest. We know Nick Sakevich has spoken how he wants to really populate all of North America. So maybe we'll see some, you know, like St. Louis markets, Chicago, you know, something along those lines. You know, this is all pure speculation from me at this point, but even maybe a Canadian market like Winnipeg or Edmonton again. So I think the way they've reshaped these conferences leads us to believe that we're going to get another Western team announcement for Team 16. And Teddy Jenner recently had Nick Sakevich on his Off the Crossbar podcast. And it sounds like expansion is not going to stop after Team 16. That was kind of their original plan. But the way things are going, I mean, if you're getting investors like, you know, Joe Tsai getting two teams and Wayne Gretzky, Justin Johnson, Steve Nash, like, if you can get those type of investors for a lot of these teams, the league's in a good spot. So I guess give me your thoughts on both the new conferences as well as the different playoff format rules as well that they introduced. And then, you know, they announced the face-off weekend matchup. So what are your thoughts on these recent announcements?
Yeah, it was exciting to see and kind of gives us a better picture of what the league's going to do from a conference standpoint. Like you said, I can fully expect that Team 16 to be on the west side of North America. And, you know, speaking of Nick Sakevich, he came from having an MLS background, right? And that league has grown pretty substantially in the last few years. You know, it was around that 15 or so in the early 2000s, jumped to around 20 teams in the mid 2010s, and has steadily increased every single year. So similar to the NLL when it comes to kind of slowly building and then growing pretty robustly, pretty quickly. It makes sense with that background in the MLS. And he's talked in the past about the value of MLS teams being similar to that of the quick expansion and uptick of value in the NLL. He talked about that at the Vegas announcement. So something that's really exciting for fans who don't necessarily have a team right now. You might be getting one in your city pretty soon. But when it comes to the playoff alignment, for those of you who don't know, it'll be the top four teams in the East Division that make the playoffs, the top three in the West, since there are two less squads. And then that wild card spot will be the team with the next best record between the two conferences. So, and for those who just can never get enough of the game, you're going to get three game series in the semifinals and the championship this year. So really excited to see this expanded playoff situation and this format. So really excited for December to get here so we can see the guys hit the floor.
Yeah, no, I think that might be like my biggest takeaway is the fact that we're getting series in the semifinals. I love that. One, it's more lacrosse, which is always a good thing. It prevents big upsets. Like, you know, upsets are always great, but it kind of makes, you know, the best team kind of shine. Obviously, it's nice having that in the championship. Now in the semifinals, you know, we've seen what series can do in pro sports. Like, there's nothing like, you know, watching a team battle back in a series. So I think it's going to create some more intimate rivalries. The opening round will still be just one single game, which, you know, I think is great, but it also allows more playoff games for, you know, home arenas, I think too, which is nice. So if you're a low seed, the odds of you getting a home game before the championship are very low. Whereas now, you know, if you make it past the first round, you are guaranteed at least one, home game. So if that's how they do it, you know, I assume that they're going to go, back and forth between cities. You know, you could see maybe the higher seed host both games in their city and then go to the other city for the third game. You know, that might be more cost effective. We'll certainly be looking to see how they do that. But yeah, I think series is going to be great. It's again going to just make these rivalries a little bit more intense. And yeah, we have the schedule now for a face-off weekend. So the teams that are going to be playing, we'll have the Seals take on the Mammoth. Obviously, they played in Las Vegas last year. I think that was the last meetup between those two teams. You have the Roughnecks taking on the Bandits in a rematch of the 2019 final. Wings taking on the Swarm. Obviously, they've had some great battles back and forth since the Wings came back into the league. Nighthawks playing the Riptide. Battle between the you know former expansion franchises. Again, a lot of these matchups are seem very intentional. Rush taking on the Thunderbirds. That was a thrilling matchup during the military appreciation game, you know, the previous year in 2020. And then the Firewolves making their debut will travel to Hamilton to take on the Toronto Rock in their new arena. So that's your face-off weekend. Again, there's going to be some great games. Luckily, we're not making picks right now because I don't know where I would lean on any of those games. But we will make those picks when December 3rd rolls around. But yeah, we're really excited about the NLL return. Again, I'm anxious to see what this US TV deal is going to be. Again, if the TSN deal is any indication, I think it's going to be a big one. And then we're looking forward to seeing, you know, what gambling partnerships roll out too. Obviously, they have their deal with BetMGM. But if they lean into what kind of the PLL has been doing with DraftKings, with BetMGM, I think, you know, gambling is going to really help the sport take off as well. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll hear a word from Anchor. And then when we come back, we'll get into the Athletes Unlimited draft and the opening weekend for this new Athletes Unlimited Women's Lacrosse League.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Pro Lacrosse Talk on the Lacrosse Playground Podcast Network.
All right, so welcome back. Now let's get into Athletes Unlimited. We are super excited about this league. Again, it's been over a year since we saw live women's professional lacrosse. This will be a new iteration of the game. It's a point system. There's drafts every week. These teams are going to get shuffled. We had a draft on Tuesday night that we're going to talk about in a little bit. But I love what Athletes Unlimited is doing. Obviously, we mentioned their TV deal has been great with the CBS Sportsnet and FS1. I think that's going to create a lot of exposure and buzz for the sport. And, you know, if you look at what they've done with volleyball and softball, you can kind of expect the same thing with lacrosse, I think. And one of those things is they're just announced that they're going to have trading cards for these women through Topps. So, again, obviously pretty reputable trading card company in Topps. Huge, I think, news. Shout out to Michael Harrison, who's been pushing for PLL trading cards, really lacrosse trading cards in general. He gets that for the women's game. I'm sure he was expecting it just given their track record with volleyball and softball. But yeah, really exciting to see trading cards come into the fold. I myself am not a trading card person, but I know that there is a big community centered around trading cards. I was at Target one time and people were lined up and I was like, what's going on here? Like, there's like security guards and everything. Someone's like, oh, some new trading cards are coming out. And this was like a Friday afternoon during the pandemic, mind you, like to kind of when things had starting to kind of open up a little bit, but still not quite. And I was just like, wow, people must, you know, there must be making a comeback in trading cards, because I didn't really think it was that big of a market right now, but I guess it is. And, you know, NFTs obviously are kind of coming in the fold as well. So you have the digital side of things too, but I know a lot of people excited about this news. Looking forward to it. Maybe I'll grab a box myself. Yeah. But you know, what are your thoughts, I guess, on what Athletes Unlimited has been doing in general in terms of just TV exposure, Topps cards? You know, I just feel like they're doing a lot for the game to make it really feel like a professional league. So any thoughts on that in general?
Yeah, absolutely. Really excited about, you know, the first broadcast that we've seen thus far. It was the draft, right, on Tuesday. And that broadcast was super high quality. Really excited to kind of see how the point system works, right? Just kind of to give a quick outline for that, players will get 16 points for 2-point goals, 12 points for a goal. Cost turnovers are just as valuable as goals. If you cause one of those, it's 12 points. Saves for those goalies out there is worth 6 points. Ground balls two, draw controls are two. And then you could lose points too if you let in a goal as a goalie or your shot saved, and turnovers are pretty valuable as well. You lose 8 points on the standings if you have a turnover. So not only do you get points individually, you also get points for winning a quarter as well as each game, plus MVPs as well. So top performer of each game gets 60 points, second in MVP voting gets 40, third in MVP voting gets 20. So it'll be super interesting to see kind of after 1 week what the standings look like. They're going to change every week, but really excited to see clearly from what I watched already, the production values going to be really high. And the ability to watch on a variety of different outlets is super exciting to make as many eyes see this great game as possible.
No, absolutely. And you're getting six games in one weekend. So you get, again, watch some on CBS Sports, some on FS1, and then they're going to be streaming on YouTube and Facebook. And I love what they're doing too. Like, we're actually going to get game six on Sunday at 3 p.m. You're going to be able to watch that on Lacrosse Playground's Facebook as well. You can obviously check it out on the leagues. It's, you know, not too hard to find both, but love that they're, you know, allowing us to help amplify this. Really excited about our partnership with them on that. And yeah, the draft quality was great. I mean, the production value, you know, they're really taking a similar approach to the PLL. And in some ways it's like, you know, even upped a little bit with the 5 intense weeks, you know, you kind of consider what the PLL did in the bubble last year and, you know, kind of amplify that in 5 weeks. That's what they're doing. All these athletes are living on site at the local hotel or whatever. And, you know, we'll get into the draft discussion, but you know, these teams are going to be changing each week. It's really like taking fantasy lacrosse, fantasy sports, and putting it into a professional league. Like, you know, obviously we're going to be rooting for teams and stuff, but you're going to be rooting for players. And so when we come to these game picks, we're going to be picking players, actually our MVP picks. We'll get to those a little bit later, but I think it's going to be awesome just to watch these athletes kind of rack up the points. But again, like you mentioned, you know, winning the game and winning the quarters is still a large part of your points. So, you know, it's not going to be just hero ball all the time either. You're still going to see these players work as a team and build each other up. But I think that's super exciting for the sport too. It's something that we haven't experienced yet in lacrosse. And you know how much we love fantasy lacrosse. So yeah. I'm really excited to see it kind of in real life now with Athletes Unlimited. But let's talk about the draft. We won't go through all the picks, but you did have the 4 team captains to start, where Kylie Ohlmiller is going to be team yellow. You have Angie Benson, the goalie out of Virginia Tech, is going to be team orange. Katie O'Donnell is team purple, and then Meg Dowdy is team blue. So Adam, I kind of have a choice in who I think, you know, I don't want to say won the draft, but the team I think, you know, might play the best this weekend. Again, these teams are pretty stacked, you know, all across the board, but what were your thoughts on the draft and which team do you like going in this weekend?
Yeah, I think I know who you're going to say, and I'm going to go a little bit differently. I think team O'Donnell absolutely knocked it out of the park. Taylor Cummings was the first pick ever for the AU. Congrats to Taylor. But they just have a really well-rounded team between Courtney Fortunato, Michelle Tumalo, Alyssa Perella on the offensive side of things, plus Katie O'Donnell, obviously the team captain, and Sammy Joe Tracy. I mean, the names go on and on, but the big one for me is the defensive end that is really going to be strong for team O'Donnell as well. Phenomenal player in Kristen Carr. You know, they're going to have one of the best goalies in the world in Kaylee Waters between the pipes for at least a half, along with Amber Hill. And don't forget Amber McKenzie as well. So that defense is absolutely stacked for Team O'Donnell. So I think while all 4 teams are fantastic, I think they have the best balance of defense and offense coming into week one.
Yeah, I think Team O'Donnell looks really, really solid too. You know, not my pick, but Team Benson, I thought, also kind of killed it on the defensive end. Yep. Obviously, you have Angie Benson in goal. And then I think we can assume that they're going to split time, you know, between games. You have Britt Brown as their other goalie. Yep. So I think that's how they're going to do the goalie system, because obviously you need goalies to play in order to get points. So, but their defense is pretty solid too. On defense, they have Katrina Geiger. And then they have, as well as Tiana Walfer, who obviously was one of the all-stars in 2019. She's been on our podcast before. Becca Blocks, a solid defender, you know, and Marie McCool at the midfield is our most recent, you know, guest. So I think Team Benson looks pretty solid too. Again, I think all these teams look great, but I have to go with Team Ohlmiller. Kylie was our first guest on the podcast, so a little biased there, but this offense is just stacked. She took Kayla Traynor with her first pick, then Dempsey Arsenault, your 2019 WPLL MVP, Allie Kennedy, you know, out of Stony Brook, is rookie midfielder. Haley Majorana, who can shoot from range. And that's another thing. They have 2-point goals in this league, like they did in the WPLL last season as well. So, you know, Taryn Van Thoff, like the list goes on with a lot of this offense on Team Ohlmiller. So I think they're going to put up a lot of points. If I had to pick a team to kind of win the weekend, I'm going Team Ohlmiller. But, you know, team we didn't mention, Team Dowdy, is pretty stacked too. Her first pick was Sam Apuzzo. You have Emily Paros, Katrina Dowd, Lindsay Roenbeck, you know, just can go down the list. I'm really excited to see Izzy McMahon too. Cousin of Matt McMahon, played at USC. I think she originally started at Army West Point and transferred to USC, but she's a rookie making her debut. So overall these teams are loaded. Two players that will not be participating in week one, also interesting to note, is Alex Ost, who's coming off her swimsuit model shoot. So congrats to her. I don't know if that's related to her not being able to participate this weekend, but she is not going to be participating in week one, as well as Maggie Bill, who we're anxious to see her make her pro debut, obviously two sport athlete at UNC. So those two will not be playing in week one, but they'll make their presence known definitely sooner rather than later. But yeah, those are my thoughts on it. Overall, I don't know. It's hard to predict, you know, how these teams are going to go. You know, I think you're going to see a lot of back and forth battles, but I guess let's, you know, you mentioned the scoring system. Let's give our MVP picks for each of these games. So we'll start off with the first game of the week, which is on at 5 PM on CBS Sportsnet on Friday. We have Team Benson versus Team Ole Miller. So who do you think is going to be the MVP of this game, Adam?
You know, I think riding that high from being announced the head coach of Syracuse, I think Kayla Traynor is arguably the best player in the world. And I think she's going to come out firing for Team Ole Miller in the first game of the season.
Yeah, so I like Team Ole Miller as well. I'm going to go Dempsey Arsenault, though. 2019 WPL MVP, midfielder out of BC. So I think she's going to be my pick for MVP. I'm giving the edge a little bit to Team Ole Miller in this one, but like I mentioned, I think, you know, the battle to watch is going to be that Team Ole Miller offense against this Team Benson defense in this opening weekend game. But yeah, I'm going with Arsenault. I think, you know, they're all pretty probably anxious to play, having had a year off hiatus. So I think they're gonna come out firing in this one. Yeah, and then moving on to the second game of that day, you have Team Dowdy taking on Team O'Donnell. So, Adam, who do you like in this game to be the highest point getter? So when we say MVP, too, just to clarify, we're talking about the person who scores the most points in terms of this ranking system in the game. So not talking specifically, you know, who's named MVP of the weekend, but who we think is going to get the most AU points in this game. So who do you like between Team Dowdy and Team O'Donnell?
Yeah, I know there's a ton of offensive firepower on Team O'Donnell. I would take them in this one. I'm going Kristen Carr. She's a defensive monster, and I think she's going to get enough cause turnovers and enough ground balls to really solidify herself in the MVP discussion.
All right. I think this is going to be a close battle between these two teams, but if I had to pick one person that I think is going to have a huge game, I think Sam Opuzo is going to have a big game. Obviously, we've had her on our podcast recently, former Touratown winner at Boston College. So I'm picking her in this game to be the highest point getter. Moving on to the third game of the weekend, we have Team O'Donnell taking on Team Ole Miller. So Adam, who do you think is going to come out on top in this one?
Yeah, I know I went with Kayla, and I know you already went with Dempsey, but I think she's such a good pick primarily because, you know, looking back at the WPLL, she led the league in assists, she led the league in points, and she led the WPLL in ground balls in 2019. So she's a points machine, and I know you already went with her, but I'm going to take her just for that main reason.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a high scoring affair, I feel like, in this one. A lot of choices I feel like I could take on both teams. I'm going to go a little bit of a wild card with Haley Majorana. I feel like she's going to maybe have a two bomb in her in this game. I feel like, again, this is going to be pretty high scoring. So going a little bit out there, and I'm going to say Haley Majorana, and, you know, really not too out there with all these players. Any of these players could, you know, come away with the most points in a game. But I'm going her, the Syracuse product, to have a big day in this game.
And that's one thing I know going off of what you just said. We've kind of looked at everyone other than a goalie, which may be my next pick here coming up. But, you know, every position has the capabilities of winning the AU championship at the end of the season. I think that's something that's super important. You know, you mentioned the fantasy side of things. Sometimes players are less valuable at different positions, but in the AU, every position can come out as champion, which is super exciting.
No, absolutely. You know, and there's different facets of the game, obviously cause turnovers, draw control, you know, numerous ways that they can score points. Moving on to the second game of that day, you have Team Dowdy taking on Team Benson. I think this is going to be a pretty heavy defensive battle, but who do you like in this one, Adam?
I'm going Team Doughty in this one. Speaking of goalies, Mearshane is one of the most exciting and fun goalies to watch. I loved watching her when she would take on Hopkins when I would be at Homewood. And I'm taking Mira. Let's give some goalie love.
I'm going to go defensive side as well, and I'm going to go with Tiana Walfer on Team Benson. So, you know, I think they're going to come out on top in this matchup. And again, I've talked about how I think solid their defense is. So I'm going to pick her to get the most points in this game. And then our final day of the weekend, we have two matchups as well. Yeah, two matchups each day, which I think is super exciting. Again, most lacrosse. You get more lacrosse from the AU than you are the PLL, and that's not a disservice to the PLL. It just shows how lucky we are as pro lacrosse fans. But to wrap up, you have Team Old Miller taking on Team Doughty. Who you like in this one?
The more I look at squads, the more nervous I am about picking an MVP just because there's so many fantastic names. I'm going Molly Garrett. I think she'll have a big day on the offensive side of things playing the midfield, and let's go with Molly.
All right. I'm going to go with Katrina Dowd on Team Doughty. I just think, you know, I don't say she's flying under the radar, but, you know, she's one of the veterans in this league that, you know, maybe needs to be talked about a little bit more just in terms of all-time greats. And I love seeing her, you know, in this Athletes Unlimited League. I think she lives now full-time in Europe. So she, you know, made the trek to the States to be in this league for these 5 weeks. So going out, I think, on top with Team Doughty, I'm gonna go Katrina Dowd in this one. And wrapping up the weekend, we have a matchup between Team O'Donnell and Team Benson. Adam, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, last game of the weekend, I started off with a new head coach. I'm going to end with a new head coach, Michelle Tumalo, now the head coach for Army. Excited about that. I think she's going to have a big weekend as well throughout. But last game of the weekend, let's go with Coach Tumalo.
All right, my pick is also from Team O'Donnell. And I'm going Taylor Cummings. I think she was the number one pick in this draft for a reason. I think she's going to dominate the draw control. She's going to dominate, on offense. And I think she's going to put up a lot of points. And I think Team O'Donnell is going to go out on top in this one. That wraps up our individual game picks. Now, for the MVP of the weekend, Adam, of the people you mentioned, anyone stand out that you think is going to win the weekend?
Yeah, for the weekend, I'm going to have to go with Dempsey Arsenault. In the last time we saw women's pro lacrosse, she was the league leader in a number of capacities. So I'm going to go with Dempsey for week one.
All right, and I'm going to repeat who I just said and go with Taylor Cummings, I think, on the weekend. I think she's going to put up a hefty amount of AU points throughout the entire weekend. And so she's going to be my pick to win the weekend for MVP. And key to note, too, the top four point getters at the end of the weekend will be the captains going into the next week. So, we could see Dempsey and Taylor as our two captains if our picks come true. But that wraps up our AU discussion. Again, I'm really excited to see women's professional lacrosse come back into the fold. It's been too long. We appreciate all that AU has done to kind of keep us in the loop. And we appreciate them, you know, getting these athletes as guests. We'll have an AU guest this coming week as well. So the guest list episode is just kind of a, you know, just for this week. We'll definitely get one for next week. I'm definitely looking forward to who that will be. But we appreciate you guys tuning in. Please leave us a 5-star review if you enjoyed this episode. It really helps us move up in the ratings, continue to bring you an episode every week. And we appreciate you guys, as always, listening to another episode of Pro Lacrosse Talk.